Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. So the question of today is, did Oregon's biggest river save the world from Nazism? Power from the Bonneville Dam in the 1930s ended up getting turned into warplanes and other aluminum war material in the 1940s and also made the development of nuclear weapons and energy possible. So the question is, if we hadn't had that dam built, would we have won that war? Well, probably so. But this article explores that question. It was first published on October 1st of 2008. This is one of the very first Offbeat Oregon history columns ever written. Here we go. When President Franklin D. Roosevelt launched the project to build Bonneville and Grand Coulee dams, he was thinking about jobs. He had no idea those jobs would, in a decade or so later, directly result in the world being saved from the machinations of the crackpot German chancellor by making it possible for America and its allies to challenge and defeat the world's best air force, and quite possibly by forestalling nuclear war. All of that was in the unforeseeable future, though, in 1933, when construction began. Originally, the plan was to build just one dam on the Columbia River. The government settled on Grand Coulee in Washington State. But the Oregon delegation in Washington, D.C. got very upset about this and begged Roosevelt to change his mind and favor the Bonneville site in Oregon. Figuring two dams would create more jobs than one, Roosevelt gave the green light to both projects. At the end of the 1930s, the dams were in service, churning out electric power that was basically free. A side effect of this was the construction of thousands of homes in Oregon and Washington, equipped with notoriously inefficient but easy-to-install electric ceiling heat. Maybe you even live in one of them. But the two dams generated far, far more power than the U.S. could use in the 1930s, especially the sparsely populated northwest corner of the U.S. Transmission lines were built, but they could only take the power so far, and electricity can't be stored, not in anything like an efficient manner. It has to be used the instant it's created. It looked like the main benefit of the dams was the thousands of jobs they'd created during the Depression. Two dams weren't doing anything that one dam couldn't have done, and even just one dam couldn't have done a whole lot more than a grid connection from Hoover Dam might have accomplished for a lot less money. That is, until December 7th, 1941. As you likely know, as the war went on, America's output of war equipment, especially airplanes, got bigger each year until the hapless Axis powers were just completely overwhelmed with hostile to them tanks and planes and artillery. By 1945, the output was staggering, and it was topped off with a pair of war-ending nuclear bombings in Japan. The two Columbia River dams played a key role, an irreplaceable role, in all these things. The seemingly unlimited electric power was just what America's young aluminum industry needed. Airplanes and their armor were made from aluminum refined in plants very close to the dam. Aluminum requires huge amounts of electricity to extract it from bauxite ore. And it's no coincidence that Hanford, where the bombs used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki were built, is situated on the Columbia River near the dams. Nuclear weapons research and production requires enormous amounts of electricity, too. Perhaps these needs would have been sated without the two job creation projects on the Columbia. Perhaps then Boeing and Douglas would have gotten their start somewhere in the Midwest, where airplane culture was so much more developed. But also perhaps, just perhaps, our production abilities would have fallen short of the challenge that was before us, and we would have lost that war. The Germans were chillingly close to developing a working nuclear bomb when they were forced to surrender in 1945. There is some evidence that they would have done so if it had not been for some highly skilled Norwegian commandos who snuck in and blew up the Nazis' heavy water refinery in 1943. Furthermore, without all those aluminum airplanes flying over Germany and dropping bombs on factories and ore refineries, they might very well have beaten the Allies to it. Did Roosevelt's make-work project in Oregon save the world? We'll never know for sure, but that's probably okay. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for the fun of it, and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy Offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.